You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, hour number two of our program. It is Call Your Shot Friday. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag Call Your Shot and let us know who you think will prevail between the Browns and the Jags this Sunday. Still to come in this hour, Jordan Cameron. We will go inside the locker room. Jameer Howerton goes inside the locker room with him around 2:15. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network stops by at 2:30 p.m. Eastern as well. And we called our shot in the at the end of the first hour. Notorious, you and I not as optimistic, although we may be trying to put a little reverse Maloike out there for us. But our own Carly McCord has called her shot on Twitter, and she's our great assistant here on this program, who writes the Cleveland Browns Daily Wrap at clevelandbrowns.com. And Carly says, and you can follow her on Twitter, at CarlyMcCord. Carly McCord says, I'm calling my shot 14-10 with the Browns beating the Jaguars on Call Your Shot Friday on Browns_daily. 14-10 for Carly. So I think we all are in agreement, at least, that this is not going to be a massively high-scoring game.
No, close game. I hope it's fun to watch. It'll be a lot more fun if it's a Browns win. We all know that. I'm agreeing with you. I think it's more along the lines of us maybe trying to get some of that reverse psychology going or whatever. But it's real simple for me. I just can't sit here and feel good about saying they're going to win a game when they haven't proven that they can win a game. They really haven't. I mean, yeah, that Ravens game, you know what? That seems like eons ago. That was a long, long time ago. And this isn't the same Browns team in many respects. And I don't know what kind of Browns team shows up Sunday. That's got to be demonstrated to me that it'll be a Browns team that's focused and not making mistakes and efficient. And Brandon Whedon, simply, can he do it? Can he show that he can do it? And right now, that's something that's most of us who watched him play, and it's not to pile on here on Brandon Whedon. I'm just keeping it very simple to the point of, you know, from a football discussion, does he have the ability to carry this team to a win? Can he play well enough? Can he avoid the mistakes? Can he do all the things that we thought, hoped he would be when he got here 2 years ago that we don't see, that skeptically most of us don't think will ever be there for him in the remaining time that he has as a Cleveland Browns quarterback? But it would be really nice to see him go out strong, whatever out is, if it's a matter of playing this week and next week perhaps, and then we'll see if Jason Campbell comes back from that concussion, or possibly is Whedon the guy who's going to have to start the remainder of the season. We'll see how that all goes.
Yeah, what would it say to you, Vic, if this team does come out this Sunday, plays a clean game, gets the job done, and looks very much like a team that is, you know, would it say if they come out and basically just beat, you know, the Jaguars, yeah, play a clean game, an efficient game, what does that say to you about the team, the players, and the makeup of those players, and the coaches of the Cleveland Browns?
I haven't stopped believing that the Browns are capable of being what we've expected them to be in terms of growth, taking forward steps this year, setting the stage for better things to come. I believe organizationally everything is in the right place. And it's harder to say that. It's harder to say that, and certainly harder to be believed when I say that, given what we've seen the last 2 weeks. But I'm not taking the last 2 weeks and saying that means everything we've seen up to that point, up to before, prior to that Cincinnati game, was completely bogus, completely false hope, etc. No, I think there's some real talent on this football team that will sustain itself. We know where that real talent is. That's not going out on a limb to say that or believe that. I also believe that those who make the decisions for this team know what they're doing more than they will screw this thing up. I think they're competent and reliable, and their test is coming up in the biggest way, beginning with May's draft and into this free agency. This is it. They get this test to show what they're about. It's the most important time of player acquisition that this Browns team has had in a long, long time, longer than I can remember. and it will impact the fortunes not only of the team, but the futures of those making all of those decisions. That's how big this offseason is coming up. So in light of all that, in light of my faith in that being strong, a performance like Sunday would help it, just help make it a little easier, a lot easier to say, you see what we've been talking about here. This is it. They're not, they don't do this consistently enough, and that's why they find themselves on the brink of playoff elimination, but they are at least showing, and you asked what does it say about maybe the character and the coaching, it probably makes a bigger statement there. On talent, they should be good enough to go out and win games and, yes, and be competitive all the time. It's the part that screws them up. It's those mistakes. It's all the things that put you in a hole that we've seen this team do, and that's a lack of focus. So can you maintain focus coming off this Thanksgiving holiday, coming off a very kind of a distracting week that this tends to be, but you're going to do your job. Did Rob Chudzinski, this coaching staff, get you guys on track and keep your heads into it? Because physically, talent-wise, you're capable of doing it.
Right, and that's the thing. They are capable of doing it, but very few teams in the NFL are capable of giving the ball away like this team has and being able to win. And this is a Jacksonville Jaguars team that right now, you have to say, honestly, if you're assessing it, is entering this game with more momentum and probably more self-belief than the Cleveland Browns are at this point. And that's troubling, and that's why it's hard to be as optimistic as you and I both want to be about the Cleveland Browns in this game.
Right. No, there's no doubt about that. 216-578-0850. John from Wisconsin wants to call his shot. Hello, John.
Good afternoon, Notorious and Nathan.
Thank you. How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I am going to call my shot, and then I also got a comment for you I'd like to hear your response to as well. Number one, I say Browns 13, Jaguars 10 in overtime. I have not picked the Browns since we beat Buffalo in October. So if we don't win this Sunday, I'm afraid it's going to be another November and December swoon. So I hope 13-10 overtime Browns in the dog pound. My comment I'd like your opinion on, gentlemen, is that I just hope our fans are patient and supportive on Sunday. I think we have a Cleveland Browns team right now whose confidence is so tedious. I know they're frustrated. I know it's been pent up since 1999, but we need some home field advantage. And I'm afraid that if Brandon gets off to a bad start or we turn the ball over, things don't go well, booing our team does not help the situation at all. We need support. And so I hope our Browns fan gives us the home field advantage we need. Thanks for taking my call. Go Browns. Have a great day.
Thank you very much for the call, John. And I think that, you know, you're right. You want to get the hometown support, because if you don't have that, you don't have it anywhere, and your home field should be an advantage. I think that this, you know, coming off of the last two games, it really is a situation where disappointment, I would say, is reigning supreme. Because if you remember the conversations that we were all having, and the, you know, maybe we were convincing ourselves of it, but at the same time, it was legitimate that they had an opportunity in that game in Cincinnati and in that game against Pittsburgh to stay very much alive in this playoff race, to put themselves in a position to maybe capture an AFC North title, and they fell so short. And I think it was almost, it was kind of like the tease of it. The allure of it was so big, and then to have it almost kind of ripped away, and especially in the fashion in which it was ripped away, right, has been very disheartening for fans and even for us as analysts of this team. And I think that, you know, it's difficult to get people to be fired up to go out there and go for it. But, you know, it is the Browns. There are only two games left this year. And I think what he's right is try to have the patience. And I know you're saying we've been patient for a long time and we want results. And you're absolutely right for that. I believe in this leadership group that is here now that they are going to get you where you want to get. I don't think there was ever any intention of kind of putting the Band-Aids on that would have allowed you to get there, maybe to be more of an 8-8, 9-7 team this year at the expense of what they hope to do 2014 and beyond. And it's not fun to talk about. It's not exciting to talk about it. I just do kind of think it is the reality of the situation. And I agree with John, though. Have the patience and have the belief. And hopefully for once, these Browns fans who have been told those same things many, many times will get the reward they very, very, very so much deserve.
Look, it's going to be another cold day at First Energy Stadium. That we can pretty much be assured of based on whatever we're looking at forecasts here and what the weather is going to be like this time of year, and it's pretty consistent with that. All right, that's number one. And it was a very cold day there last week against Pittsburgh, which made that loss, which made the performance, the ugliness of it all, that much harder to take. People spent really good money, hard-earned money, to sit and watch a game and see something that was extremely dissatisfying, extremely frustrating, and they had to freeze through it all while going through the frustration of it all. So I don't want this day, this Sunday, to be a duplicate of that, at least in that sense. I do hope and pray what you're describing, what you mentioned to me earlier about the kind of game, a clean sort of performance. And I think we know, everybody knows what that means, a cleanish game, a game that just doesn't give you that maddening sense of what
that
the hell are these guys doing.
Right.
You know, we want it right. So that's step one. But step two, in assessing what this is going to be like from a fan perspective, and I thought John made some excellent points, and I agree with his point about wanting to be patient. But patience is harder to come by when you've made that investment to be there. You're sitting there. It's cold. And you're not feeling a sense from what you're seeing on the field that it's
not warming.
It's giving
you
hope. Yeah, it's giving you a sense of efficiency, competence. You've paid to see a professional team play, and you want it to look professional. And that much the Browns, at the minimum, should deliver. And that's the minimum expectation. So if people get agitated by that and express themselves through booing, I don't have a problem with that. What I don't like is the way when your quarterback comes in, though. I've had one problem with what the fans have done this season, and that was that Buffalo Thursday night game, the first time Whedon came in there after Brian Hoyer got hurt, and in the euphoria over Hoyer mania at the time, which was understandable, but that should not have given way to let's boo this guy who's coming in with almost the whole game to play here still, and he's now your best chance. He's your quarterback, likely for the rest of the way. You could surmise that pretty easily, even before you got the injury report that Hoyer was done for the day and then, of course, done for the year. So that part bothered me. But in-game, seeing it and not liking what you see in terms of effort, performance, you express yourself. That's your right to do that. It doesn't make you a bad fan. I would hope you would be more supportive, lean toward being more supportive through the roughest of times with your team. And actually, I think I know the people in this community are. There is no, in my mind, more rabid fan base. That's why I love being part of this, because of that rabid fan base. And rabid takes on different meanings. Rabid means really, really happy, excited, over the top. And it could mean really, really pissed off and screaming and yelling and booing. It all comes with it. It's all part of the package. So I accept the package. But I do hope, for the sake of those who are going to, and I don't know what those numbers will look like, Nathan. I hope it's a good turnout. I hope it's a weekend where holiday people are from out home, from out of town and such, and visiting. And, you know, it tends to be those kinds of games, those post-Thanksgiving Sundays, that do bring out people, you know, bring together decent crowds. And I hope it's at least decent, whatever decent is, understanding the circumstances.
Yeah, I hope it's a good crowd. And listen, a good team, if you watched yesterday, one thing I think that you came away from watching Green Bay and Detroit was that a good team, a team full of very, very good professionals, by the way, a team that's had a lot of success, that when the quarterback situation is not what it needs to be, can have struggles. And I think you saw that yesterday with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I don't think it could be any more clear how important it is and what a drop-off it is from Aaron Rodgers to Matt Flynn there. And the Cleveland Browns right now are still searching for their Aaron Rodgers, for their main man at quarterback. But right now, the guy they're going to try to win with is Brandon Whedon. And hopefully the crowd can try to support him in that. And hopefully he gives you, you know, some reasons to be optimistic. Remember, this is a Jacksonville team that has had a suspect pass defense. We talked about how bad the Browns pass defense has been, giving up multiple scores now in six straight games through the air. In fact, 16 total touchdowns during that span. But this is a Jacksonville Jaguars team that's allowed quarterbacks to throw for 20 touchdowns against them, 18 of which have come in the last nine games. So that's two a game, basically. This is a team that is vulnerable through the air. The average quarterback rating against this Jacksonville Jaguars defense on the season is 100.6. 100.6. Wow. So this is a matchup that Brandon Whedon certainly can have success in. Hopefully he can do it. They can play that clean game. They can take care of the ball, because if they don't take care of the ball right now, this offense is not the type of offense like Detroit, who came out of the gate yesterday and gave the ball away and gave the ball away and then gave the ball away again, but they're still that explosive offense that can still put 40 points on the board. Even when doing that, the Browns aren't that offense, so they must take care of the football.
All right. We are going to go back into the locker room. We promised you'll hear from Jordan Cameron, and you're going to, the tight end for the Browns, because Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com sits down with him. That is coming up next. And then you're also going to hear from Doug Deacon in a little while from the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network. That, too, is ahead. On this post-Thanksgiving edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, a Call Your Shot Friday. Call us up to 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you on that count as well. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.